Hi, guys, and welcome to episode 25 of the Bantercast. This is your host, Michael Parker, and along with my co-host, Ben Cohen, I am so happy to bring you this latest episode. This was a different one. We did a Facebook Live event on our Banter Sanity Zone, which you can find on Facebook, of course. We answered some audience questions and then talked about the blockchain and investing in the blockchain. We went pretty deep on that, which was a lot of fun, and I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Do check out our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/bantercast. For as little as $3 a month or as much as $1 million a month, you can support the Bantercast and help us keep making this content for you guys. Please do like, comment, and subscribe on our Facebook page, and feel free to post any questions or messages, and we'll try to get to them in the next episode. Without further ado, here's episode 25.
Welcome to the Bantercast.
We are live.
British live.
No, it's not British live.
American British live. We're live.
Live.
The oh wow. Okay, yeah, we are officially live. On the Banter Sanity Zone, yes. Right, which is a Facebook group I set up as a refuge from all the Facebook madness, all the craziness that's going on up there.
Sanity is a rare and beautiful thing.
Yeah, so we are actually on episode 25. I'll have
one
to look at the account, but we are quite deep into the Bantercast.
Is that the Silver Jubilee? This is our Silver Jubilee. This is big.
Yeah, it's our Silver Jubilee. Welcome everyone to our Silver Jubilee.
We're getting medallions,
yeah.
I think.
So anyway,
we should do a quick recap for those of you who haven't memorized every episode of the podcast, which is most of you, but it's probably a few of you.
We're not muting now, are we?
No, we're not muted.
Okay, not a big deal. That'd be a bad start to our live TV experiment. Yeah.
No, we're not muted. At least I hope not. We've had a few really amazing episodes and a bunch of pretty good episodes. My favorite so far has probably been this Zoe Ligon, the sex expert.
We had a sex expert on.
That was amazing, talking about how to navigate orgies and sex parties and all kinds of crazy sex related things.
I felt like a Victorian.
I've never felt so
crude.
Stiff. Wait, that sounds wrong.
That's not that kind of thing. That kind of very bad.
We had a few other amazing ones as well. So if you guys haven't had a chance to check out the podcast, please do. It's free and beautiful and hilarious and definitely worth checking out and really fun to listen to when you're traveling or on the train or
in bed,
fantasizing.
But so anyway, we thought we'd try to. This is just an experiment, really, to see, the new Facebook group, because it's a bit more intimate. You know, it's a bit more, we can engage a bit more with people.
And it's more sexual.
I wasn't going to go there. But, people can write to us. If you're watching, you can post a question. We do have a couple of questions that I asked before. We're a small group at the moment, so that we're not
intimate.
Actually. Yeah, it's intimate. So I'm going to check one of the questions now. So we go straight to the questions?
Yeah,
so we've got two things we wanted to talk. We wanted to do listener questions and cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And we promised we would talk about it last week.
Yeah, we promised we'd talk about it. So we'll touch on that. But I think what we should do first is, I think Ben posted in the group that he wanted to know if there's any questions from you guys for us we want to talk about. And there's definitely something I think that came up first that we should probably talk about. Yeah, the first one.
Okay, so this is from Anthony Evans, and he says, we have a spectrum ranging from Aziz Ansari is pretty much a rapist versus Grace, quote-unquote Grace, that's the pseudonym for the woman who wrote the piece, is revenge porn snowflake who would have been better off born in the 18th century so her parents could accompany her on dates. Where do you guys stand on the Aziz Ansari conversation? All right.
I have an opinion. Do you have an opinion?
I do have an opinion. I do have an opinion on this. I'll go first.
You go first.
I read the piece on babe.com and yeah. I was, to be honest with you, he sounds like a fucking creep. I hate to say, I want to be open about this. I've always thought that Aziz Ansari was a creepy dude.
He's a creepy dude.
I've never liked him.
No.
I've never liked to see something.
He's a bit of a D-bag.
Yeah. So
do you think what he did was morally wrong?
I think it's a grey area. I think it's a grey area that it wasn't. It was clearly sleazy. It reminded me of what it looked like was like an 18-year-old dude or like a young man, early 20s at the latest.
Yeah,
kind of trying to get digits, trying to get play, trying to get play,
trying
to get sex.
Good throwback term.
But I didn't like what I read. I thought he came across as a sleazy douchebag. But then again, I don't think he's a sexual predator.
But I agree with you. But you know, I was like, one thing that Twitter is mostly a terrible place that no one should ever go to. But I did just kind of peruse like people comment on my Twitter feed, and there was one comment that actually kind of changed my mind. I had initially kind of like, you know, I was like, yeah, this is a little bit unsettling, but you know, given the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, like, is this really worth talking about? And this one woman basically said, look, we just want you to know how this affects us. Because, you know, I've been reflecting a lot on myself lately, and we talked about this in the podcast recently with Christina.
Yeah.
Which is that almost all of my heroes growing up, and probably yours too, were borderline sexual assaulted.
Borderline sexual assaulted.
Yeah, like, I mean... Yeah. To me, it was like John Wayne, Don Draper, James Bond. We were kind of taught that sex was something that you get from someone, not something you give to someone.
Right, right.
And that has been that's deeply ingrained in me.
Yeah.
And I've been reflecting on that a lot. And it's kind of great to talk about the gray area because we're all in the gray area. I think most guys.
Yeah, I have to say.
And it affects people, and the fact. Like, what matters is, you know, you don't have to, you can judge the guy however you want, but I think just understanding how something like that can affect somebody is important. And it doesn't have to be that he, like, I think Anthony was saying, there's this really wide spectrum of people's opinions on it, which is good. That's fine. But I think the most important thing, I think from my perspective is, okay, how did this person feel? What happened? And... can we be better for it? And I feel better for it. I've been reflecting a lot about it myself. And like, where do I fall on the creepy Aziz Ansari spectrum? And how, like, you know, one day, you know, how will I teach my sons
to behave? Wrong
to way. Behave.
One of the crazy things is that, you know, and this is kind of almost difficult for me to admit, but when I read it, I recognize parts of myself.
19-year-old Michael, very similar.
I recognize younger parts of myself in that. And I'm like,
getting back to the apartment, ASAP, like all that stuff. Right. Again, it was like, we were taught, men are taught that sex is something that you get from someone. And it's not something you give to someone. And I think women are socialized as it's something that you give to somebody.
Right.
And that's a kind of interesting dynamic.
We've got a couple of questions from Ashley Jensen. She said, any women you guys...
Are you asking if we know any women?
We know any women. A couple of women. I'm not sure exactly what actually means there.
Actually, they won't talk to us. If you know anyone, to be willing to be our friends.
Yeah, we'd love it.
I would absolutely love it.
Gabriel David, as they said in Spinal Tap, retarded sexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I know a lot of... It's quite interesting, though, to read the perspective of a woman who... how that feels from a woman's perspective, right?
Yeah.
What Aziz Ansari did on that date, right? Like, it's like the article, the woman wrote an article about what Russell Simmons did to her.
Yeah.
Right, and that, it gave me the fucking chills, man.
Yeah.
Like, it really gave me the chills when I read it, because in his mind, maybe he thought he was being like a big alpha male.
Alpha male, she's going to like it.
Yeah. And then in her mind, she was petrified.
Right.
Absolutely terrified. And
right.
You just like, you go, shit, like I need to, perhaps like, I need to rethink everything that I've ever thought about women and dating and sex and that kind of stuff. I've never done anything like that. But,
right.
But
we're all, I think, kind of to Gabriel's point, we all go through that period of being really stupid about, you know, other people's bodies and sexuality. I think Aziz Ansari is a grown man. He's like 38 years old or something like that. But You know, we all or whatever. I mean,
that's too late. That's too late to be behaving
like
that.
You're
a
grown
man.
But I think the gray period is the most important discussion because actually, is that Martin Luther King quote where he's talking about, you know, people who are well-meaning but are unwilling to see the way things are worse than someone who has ill will.
Mm.
And I think I would say 90% of guys, you know, fall in that gray, obviously in the gray zone. Mostly, I think, are not, you know, sexual predators. But there is a gray zone which impacts people. And you could just see how some women really responded to that Babe article with stories of their own.
Mm.
And they were really, and they were reflecting on how moments like that made them feel. And just being aware of that is huge. It's huge. Mm. And whatever the article, I was like, you know what? I was like, man, James Bond, you know, John Wayne, all these guys I was taught to admire, Don Draper, that's kind of, there's a similarity there. You kind of force the woman towards you. She fights you off, but then she relents and she kisses you and you're like, ah, that's what a man does. And yeah, it's time to change all of that for sure.
It's definitely time to change all of that. So to that question about where does it lie? I think it lies bang in the middle. Here we are. Gabriel's commenting now. He says, if the article is accurate, Ansari's behavior was absolutely inappropriate. What I'm concerned about is how we divide inappropriate behavior into certain consequences. What is prosecutable? What is deserving of societal blacklisting? Right now, I think that there is a they all have to go mentality. An accusation should start an investigation, not conclude it. Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really, really good point.
I think it's a great point. And the reason it's a great point is that we're only now beginning in our culture to talk about it, which is crazy, considering how old, you know, Western civilization is. It's pretty astonishing. And it's time. We're going to have to figure this out the way we figure out all this stuff and be clumsy and talk about it the way we do, like clumsily and awkwardly and trying to, you know, with our like gorilla brains trying to figure out a way to talk about this stuff. We have to talk about it until the awkwardness kind of goes away, I think.
It kind of occurred to me that Aziz Ansari is actually probably getting just about the right amount of punishment.
I think so, yeah.
Because he's been publicly shamed.
Yeah.
But he's also been publicly defended.
Right.
But probably...
Because he's in the grip.
In equal...
Right.
Right. So this is... Talk about this, but I'm familiar with people who know Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's a creep.
Oh, he seems like a creep.
He's a creep.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I've heard this from a couple of sources, and he's yeah, the guy is, you know, not, I've always pegged the guy. As soon as I saw him, I'm like,
you
that
pegged
guy's
him?
A.
You pegged his users, right?
I pegged his
butthole.
you've ruined our. We were having a mature conversation, and now we're like.
What you're saying is you want to have sex with Aziz Ansari.
Get used to this, everyone. This is we do descend into juvenile banter quite often. Yes,
we are not mature.
We're not that mature, but yeah, no. I think Aziz Ansari is he's a creep.
Do you think there's something about fame that?
Wow, Ben. Chris Gaines says, "Wow, Ben."
Oh, Chris. What do you think? There's something about fame that it is so intoxicating that you just feel. That you're entitled to doing whatever the fuck you want. And of course I'm going to sleep with this girl. Of course she wants me. I'm famous. I'm Aziz Ansari. Mm. I was in a show on TV. You know, I'm on Netflix.
Mm.
You know, don't I deserve to have...
Pegging.
You know, don't
yeah,
I
deserve... all right. Chris has gone after me. What's wrong with pegging?
Nothing's wrong with pegging. You want to peg Aziz Ansari? I'm
no,
all for
if
it.
If you peg someone, it's maybe it's a British thing.
Yeah, it's a British thing. Yeah.
British
guys in private school. They do that.
Pegging, all right, fine, fair enough.
It's fine. If you want to peg Aziz Ansari, as long as he consents,
fine.
Yeah.
No,
we all
I think
have our taste.
Want to peg?
Listen,
friends, we know.
Yeah, it's like among as friends,
just as mates.
Yeah, as friends.
But
it's
yeah,
on Netflix.
I think I do think that when people get famous, they get egos, and they like to peg. They do.
We were doing so well. We were so
doing
mature.
Really well.
For
this is
so
like a
long.
real mature conversation.
It's hard to go back now that I've ruined it.
Fucked it up.
I'm sorry.
But yeah. Anyway, so I think that is There you go. I think it's right in the middle. I think to Anthony's question, it's right. It's literally right in the middle. Like,
do you think my statement is most guys have been somewhere around the creepy area?
Yeah.
In their life, some point.
Oh yeah.
When you're young and you just don't understand.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you think that, like...
Zana, we have another comment? Do we have another comment?
We're having a Myra Breckenridge moment. I don't know who that is. One second.
Mike's looking after his dog. Dog is probably cold. So, I don't know. I think it's an interesting one. I don't know. I don't know where we stand on this.
But if we're all, like... If it's systematically so that we're all kind of go through a period of being super creepy, then it's a problem in the culture, right? I mean, it's not like a one-off case. It's like a cultural problem that we have.
It's a cultural problem. Yeah, it is. It's a societal problem that men need to get taught how to behave around women. I was not, you know, my parents did, I think they did a pretty, you know, they did a good job, but they never even talked to me about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a role model. My dad was always very respectful towards my mum, but...
Yeah.
I was, you know, you're socialized by your peers, like
for
by
sure.
people that you go to school with.
Yeah.
And I went to school with animals.
Yeah.
I mean, dogs. Like, I was at a boys' school,
God.
And they were terrible. It was
really?
Like,
terrible.
It took me like a decade to get over the conditioning on how we would talk about women.
What was that TV show about, like, pickup artists?
Oh my God, the pickup artists. Yeah.
Were they
the
like
PUAs?
Yeah. So there was like a whole cultural movement about like,
how to pick up
but it was all like make them feel bad,
yeah, negging,
and then make them feel bad, then they're gonna like you more, and then
I knew dudes who were into that stuff.
Yeah.
Sad as fuck. But that was like normal. That was like, oh, they're players. He's got his own TV show.
Yeah, so it's kind of like we got some fucked up shit, and we have to deal with it. And like, you know what, we're all guilty.
Yeah, I think so.
Guilty. I have been a creepy drunk guy in a nightclub for sure. Thank God I wasn't famous or like it wasn't, you know what I mean? For sure, I'm guilty of that. And obviously, not to the extreme of whatever any of these people, but it's still on the scale. It's on the spectrum for sure. And that's something to think about. I think it's a cultural problem. We're all guilty of it.
Yep, I agree. Do you have another comment there?
No, that was a game show. Was it a game show?
What was that? What was the game show?
It was like the pickup artist?
The pickup artist.
That was the one where like 10 lovable losers live in a mansion.
Bag chicks in the nightclub.
Bag chicks with the pickup artists. And they
try
like,
and peg chicks in
the
nightclub.
Peg chicks.
They
peg Aziz Ansari.
That's messed up.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, sorry. Hi, Irene. Okay, you kind of started talking about this as I was typing. What role do you think men should take in making this better? For example, does locker room talk normalize aggressive behavior?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, hell yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think it's calling it out is really important and kind of supporting other guys who call it out, because this is going to sound terrible, but it's hard to call it out because it's like the locker room talk thing is real. There's obviously a spectrum about locker room talk. It's definitely real. And like, part of you is afraid of kind of looking like you're not one of the guys and not going along with it. When you say something, it kind of like makes a serious situation out of what should be banter. But if we don't call it out, the culture continues. So you got to start basically making fun of people who start making comments like that and call them Harvey Weinstein until they stop. I think that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I remember at my office co-working space a couple of years ago, I remember these young guys were there and they would like constantly be, they were kind of bros, and like, oh man, we brought some chicks to the office last night. We like banged these chicks in the office. And it was the way they were talking. I was like, I was kind of cool with these guys. And then I just realized, I'm like, yeah, but you're kind of douchebags. And like, I don't really agree with talking about women like that, so I'm not going to be friends with you. I just ignored them.
The thing, my dog wants to be part of the conversation. She's right. So I agree with that, but the thing that I want to make kind of clear, the admission I want to make, the ego bruising admission is like, we've all been those creepy,
been those dudes,
loser dudes who think talking about women that way gets you some kind of points with other guys, like Trump tried to score points with Billy Bush the same way. And the reason for that is you can think, oh, I'm gonna degrade women, and these guys are gonna think I'm a cool guy because guys who degrade women get lots of girls. You know what I mean? That's really as juvenile as it is, and that's a cultural problem that we have for sure.
It's a cultural problem, and it's got to start by having discussions. I think it's,
and it's been a cultural problem for thousands of years.
Mm.
That's the craziest thing is we're only now starting to treat everyone like human beings. Like just the beginning of everyone gets to be a human being. Everyone gets to be treated with basic respect.
I mean, if you think about it, 100 years ago, we had slaves.
It's crazy.
We had slaves 100 years ago, right? Was it 100 years ago? No, a bit more than that, right? 130 years ago.
There's slaves today.
We had slaves, right? This concept that all human beings are equal and that women, are human beings.
Revolutionary concept.
It's a revolutionary concept. It's now dawning on people, on humanity as a whole, that this shit is not cool. It's not okay. Treating women as objects is sex objects is just not. It's crazy. You wouldn't talk. It's amazing how we've got to that.
It's amazing
how we've got.
It's
there.
Completely amazing. Just taking a step back and thinking, wow, this is we're talking about. Just really basic human dignity, very, very basic human dignity. As I think it was Gabriel who was saying that, we don't know how to even, we're not, as a culture, we don't know how to talk about it because we've never done it.
Right, right. And
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. That's where we are. So I think understanding that we're at that point.
Yeah.
Granting people, I think someone says on Twitter, and it's I've been thinking about it all day. Men are taught that sex is something that we get from women, and women are taught it's something you give to somebody. And maybe men should start thinking about sex the other way around. And that would be huge.
It would be really big.
Not as some reflection of your ego. My dog is a husky, by the way.
Someone asked a question.
Gabriel asked if my dog was a husky or a mountain. She's a husky. She's a rescue. She's amazing. She's been arrested twice. She's a pain in the ass. I love her. She's crazy and very expensive. Sex for us is for men. We're ingrained as a reflection of our ego, of our prowess.
Yeah, yeah.
Of how awesome we are.
Bang loads of chicks.
Yeah, bang loads of chicks, and I did her so great. I'm so tough. It's really sad. It's really sad. But
it's sad.
So much of it is about something you take. So it's some reflection of yourself. You know what I mean? Any amount of sex is a reflection of. It's just a way to boost your own self-esteem and. And it's time to change. Gabriel, is my dog's dog arrested? She stole a sled. No, my dog is actually very racist, and it's a problem. She's a rescue, and her favorite game.
You're a racist dog.
Very racist, and her favorite game is called Pin the Indian Family Inside the House. And what she does is she.
It's very specific.
She's very specific. And we had a very lovely neighbors, and she would jump the fence and not let the Indian grandmother who liked to take walks up. No, she would not let her out of the house.
Are you serious?
And one day, when I was at work, she was arrested for racist assault on an Indian woman, and
that's crazy.
It happened twice.
That's crazy.
And then we moved.
I've never. Oh, she's all right with Jews, though, right?
She loves Jews.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
So anyway, moving on. We thought the second part of the podcast.
Any more questions? I thought we had another. Was there
more
on
the questions? I think we got to all the questions.
Did we?
Okay, you kind of started to.
On your post, we had another question, but I don't remember what it was.
But we are going to be moving on to cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and the massive. It was Gabriel who asked questions on the post. So, anyway, so we're going to move on towards Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this last week because, look, everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
Whether you're interested in it or not interested in it, think it's a load of bullshit
mm-hmm.
or a bubble and a scam. Regardless of what you think, it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's happening. And, if you look at, price of these cryptocurrencies have plummeted today, leading
mm-hmm.
everyone to say, oh, this is a bubble, this is the end of Bitcoin,
right.
It's all a load of mania. I'm not so convinced that A, this is the end of Bitcoin, and B, this is the end of cryptocurrencies. I think that this is just the beginning of a completely new dawn of money.
Yeah.
And whether you agree with it or not, whether you have issue with how it works, whether the concept of a cryptocurrency is legit or valid, it doesn't really matter because it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
Enough people believe in it, and enough people are building this. I think this is how I view it, as an alternative economy next to the real economy, right? And now this adjacent economy is becoming real, whether you agree with it or whether you don't agree with it.
Yeah, I'm at Gen Capital, we're investing in crypto and blockchain in a big way. And I think there's a really good New York Times article that came out today about the blockchain in general. The most interesting thing about crypto is not the currencies for me. It's the underlying tech, and it's super cool. And it's the first time like economics and the internet have been put together in a single thing. So you're talking about basically the disruption of huge industries in financial technology and fintech. And I mean, my mind, I honestly cannot, I think about it all day and every day. My mind can't stop racing, thinking about
what
crypto,
what you could do with it.
Because it really disrupts, it fucking shakes up Wall Street in a big way, in a huge way.
That isn't necessarily a bad thing.
I think it's a good thing, in the same way, like that people are saying, like AI is disrupting like driving industries. You know that like jobs for like truck drivers will be obsolete. That you know that a child born, you know, your kid, is not going to know what a truck driver is.
Right.
What most people, I think, in the same way, it's disrupting a lot of the financial service industry in a huge way, and only seeing the beginning of it.
And the thing is, like everything, I don't think it's good or bad. Like the internet, is the internet good or bad? I mean, it's both. It's how you use it. The internet can be a terrible place, and can be an amazing place. It can be used to do good. It can be used to do bad. And I think that blockchain technology is another technological progression that can be used for amazing good or amazing bad. I don't think it's kind of agnostic. The technology is agnostic, but the potential to do good is amazing. And like, I think all this stuff with, you know, I think the cryptocurrencies are kind of like, it's almost like a bit misleading because that's not the most interesting part of blockchain technology.
A bit of tea?
Yes, please. A bit of tea would be good.
Chris Gaines made a comment.
What did Chris Gaines say?
Chris says, there needs to be a more efficient way to use the blockchain because it uses exponentially more resources the more it's mined. CPU and electricity. Super true. There's a few people working on fixing that problem. Every crypto that major has a huge environmental footprint. And it's a problem that needs to get fixed. I think it will get fixed because it's inefficient.
Yeah. I mean, Bitcoin, the mining cost for like something like Bitcoin is insane.
Yeah, but Vitalik, the founder of Ethereum, has like an hour-long speech on this that's like you can YouTube, where he talks about, you know, this is a huge problem they're trying to fix. Long story short, though, if I were you, I would be reading all about this shit because it is going to define the next 10 years.
Yeah, again, this is one of these things. Well, I'm always having arguments with people about it. They say, oh, it's all a load of bullshit.
It's not.
I mean, even if it is, it doesn't really matter because it's happening. And like, I was talking to Ari Rutenberg, who co-founded the Banter with me
shout out to Ari
who should be watching this, but we were talking about it today. It's kind of like economists are saying, oh, the, you know, Bitcoin is bullshit and Ethereum is bullshit and it's all going to collapse. But I think what mainstream economists don't really understand is that their field of study is not a science.
Right? No, it can't be such bullshit.
It's fundamentally just not a science. You can't. Human behavior is unpredictable, right? You can't say that.
They don't make falsifiable predictions. They don't tell you about the future. There's no way. They can't test their ideas. They just read what happened and then write a fucking story about it.
I mean, it's not to say that this, like, Paul Krugman's a brilliant guy and Nouriel Roubini is a brilliant guy. Like, these guys are very, very smart, right? And they say some interesting stuff. But both Nouriel Roubini and Paul Krugman, for example, have come out and they've basically said this is a bubble and it's bullshit. But it's kind of like, so I was talking about this with Ari, it's kind of like saying this TV show that everybody likes is bullshit and it's
right.
not good
right.
and it's not real and
right.
it's gonna
go one day. Right.
But it doesn't really matter what they think. It
right.
matters what everybody else thinks. It matters what, if people believe in Bitcoin, if
yeah.
enough people believe in Bitcoin and keep buying it and keep signing up to it, it's real. It doesn't, no one, it doesn't give a shit whether an economist says it's legit or not.
But you can't go back. Like, you, it might be that Bitcoin goes away. Totally possible.
But it could be, it'll be another cryptocurrency.
But
it'll be something else.
No one's going back now. The door is open and it can't be closed. That's the key. The key to understanding. I mean, anytime there's a big tech disruption, is that, yeah, maybe the first 5, 10, 100 companies don't make it, but the 101st will, and it's going to change the game. So it's worth it to read about. There's a few people that I would recommend following. My favorite investor, my favorite like Silicon Valley type guy, is this guy called Naval Ravikant.
Very interesting guy, yeah.
If you are on Twitter, just follow him at Naval. Read everything he says, and he's probably, in my opinion, one of the smartest people on planet Earth right now, as far as, you know, tech and investing. I just love the way he thinks about the world, and it's super profound. Everything he says sounds like some Zen master talking about, like, your life. And just follow him on Twitter and read everything he has to say. There's a really good podcast that he did recently that you can, if you go to his Twitter, it's like right in his headline. You should listen to it. It's beautiful. And yeah, I think crypto is going to disrupt.
Wait,
all of fintech.
It is disrupting it. I mean, as much like, I know it's kind of laughed at, a lot of people just think it's like libertarian fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
And well, it is, but so was the internet. You know, so it's like,
yeah.
all of these people who are responsible for it, these kind of weirdos in their basements, like
yeah.
mining cryptocurrency and stuff like that. But these are the people who built all the video games that everybody plays, and the same people who built the internet, the same people who are responsible for some of the biggest innovations. And you can laugh and mock them all you want, but they are making our reality.
If you know about this company called The Contact, it's like the Russian Facebook.
Yeah.
And like the Russian government basically like took a piece of it, and the founder got pretty shafted. It's like a kind of corrupt deal. Actually, the same thing happened to my friend's company in Russia. So he decided to do his own kind of like peer-to-peer messaging app and he did an ICO to raise money. Can you guess how much money he raised in his ICO round?
How much?
Just take a wild guess.
20 million?
Nope. $1.4 billion.
Wow, that's
He raised $1.4 billion fucking dollars.
Yeah.
Think about how disruptive that is. He went direct
to the people.
And why is it that customers don't get to decide and don't get to own products?
What they...
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%
of the money comes from the customer. And yet they have no say about how a company is run or built. Like, why is it that, like, let's say I buy H&M, and I don't fucking like the way they do ad campaigns. Why is it that I have to, like, complain on the internet? It's my money.
Yeah.
I want to be able to vote. And with the blockchain, you can actually, with smart contracts and smart voting, have a company that is run by the customers. And why not? And why is it that customers and shareholders are different? And why is it that, you know, that people who give money as an investment get to have more say than people who give money to buy the product? Maybe it shouldn't be that way. And now all of a sudden everything's kind of in flux.
It's all up for debate. That's all up for
exactly,
debate.
Exactly, because angel investing and early stage venture capital is all about this idea that you have this proprietary deal flow of companies, that you are smarter than the average investor, that your money is worth more than another person. And why?
Yeah.
Why have early stage VC at all?
So okay, here's a question. Bringing you back to the currencies, would you, and this is what a lot of people want to know about, is would you invest in a cryptocurrency?
Yeah, I think they're pretty interesting. I think now is actually the best time to buy. Like, I actually just bought some this morning or this afternoon. I think now is the best time. It's low. I would buy a bunch of them as a portfolio. I'm not a financial advisor. Don't take my advice however you want it, but I'll put it this way. I'm investing in the currencies because I think they're really interesting and they're fun. And you shouldn't. I'm investing very little of my like personal net worth. It's a small amount of money because it's a casino. But you should be involved more as a learning and to understand things, because it'll get you to start doing research and start reading white papers. Like I have right here, like these are all white papers that I've been reading like crazy about every like ICL that's coming out. Like I'm just reading because it's interesting. And being on crypto, on the currency itself, is just a learning experience for me, because again, like it's a 10-year, like I see it as a long-term thing. I don't need to quickly.
It's also, again, don't take my advice. I'll preface that by saying don't take my advice.
But don't take his advice.
Don't take my advice. But I will say that it is also one of the first times that people, like just regular people, get to invest in something that's growing.
Thank God.
You know, like property, you know, good luck getting on the property ladder, right?
Exactly. And why is that? Like, why is it that like only very wealthy people can invest in real estate, in REITs, right? Now you can... There's a lot of issues in the law. Like right now, I think it's pretty much illegal to do like security-backed ICOs. Like it's the SEC would have a problem with it. But in the future, it should be like really liquid. You should be able to buy 10% of an apartment building as opposed to like having to plonk down $100 million. You know what I mean? It's most people in the United States are not in the stock market, even though the stock market is a pretty good asset class. Probably the best. Like Warren Buffett had a famous bet against these hedge fund guys. He said, like, I bet you if I just buy the S&P 500, which is like an index of stocks, and don't do anything, then I'll outperform you in the long term. And they all agreed the bet, and he fucking won $1 million. He won the bet. Like the stock market is like, you know, is a reasonably smart place to invest, but it's complicated and it's hard and it's not easy. But doing these currencies actually is relatively easy.
It's pretty easy. Yeah.
And
again, I'm not saying do or don't.
It's a casino. Be really careful. Only invest what you're willing to lose. Understanding that like it's a crazy time and it's cowboy time. And my dog is barking. I'll be right back.
Yeah. I mean, just adding to that. No, I think that, you know, everyone keeps saying, oh, if you're an idiot if you invest in all this. It depends when you invest in this stuff and when you get out, you know, like anything. It's I don't think, you know, Bitcoin may not be around in 10 years' time, may not be around in 5 years' time, maybe not around in 6 months' time, maybe something different. But it's like
you're willing to lose, because understand, it's a casino for sure. It's crazy times. And there's a lot of these stories about people becoming millionaires and all that, and they're taking huge risks. And frankly, they might have $1 million today and $0 tomorrow, because it's all about patient, disciplined, well-researched, like thoughtful,
I think,
investing.
Warren,
that's the way.
Also, to quote Warren Buffett once again, Warren Buffett said that the stock market is a place where wealth is transferred from impatient people to patient people.
100%.
So I think it's the same thing. Like, all investments should be long term as opposed to trying to turn a quick profit.
There's a couple of really good books out there on crypto, which I will post in the chat, that I think are worth reading.
Put it up in the sanity zone.
The sanity zone,
yeah.
Which are worth reading. Get the book, read it, think about it, take your time. There's no rush at all. You're not missing anything. Read and take your time, because it's about patience. It's a long term thing.
So, and with that, I think that we are good for our first ever episode on, well, no, it's not the first episode. We did one on the Bantam
page,
but this is the first one we've done in a closed group. So, guys, thank you for watching, for checking out, commenting. Again, just leave comments below or in the group about what you want to hear being discussed. This is all about discussion, having back and forth conversations. Engaging with all you guys who read the Daily Banter. Been fun time. And we will see you next week.
Peace.
Adios, muchachos.
Adios. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I figured we don't want to go on bang on for
too long. No.